Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spockman.
All right, Chris Spockman, Spock Sports Show, hanging out with Dave Angel, the new Shepherd varsity football coach. And first of all, as a Shepherd alum, thank you for taking on that job. Proud to have you. And if people don't know who Dave Angel is, talk a little bit about yourself, coach.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, just a pleasure to be speaking with you, Chris. Always love to connect with Shepherd grads. We're trying our best right now, just culturally, to sort of unify this thing, to bring it back together. So a little bit about me, my background. I was born in Grand Rapids. My folks live over in Big Rapids. So we have family here throughout the state. Yeah, my family moved down to Ohio, Central Ohio, when I was in high school. So I went to high school down there, went to college down there. I ended up going to OSU for school. Through that experience, started coaching high school ball. Just when I graduated high school, I started coaching at my high school and working my way up through there. After that, I had an opportunity to go to coach some college ball. I coached at some colleges in the Ohio, Central Ohio area, Kenyon College, about an hour north of Columbus, Division III school, as well as Ohio Dominican right there in Columbus, which was a Division II school. I worked on the defensive side of the ball, working with defensive backs primarily. Just a really great experience. Got a lot of chance. Got a really cool opportunity to just build a lot of relationships through recruiting and stuff like that. A whole other side of the game that is it was pretty interesting to me and pretty fun. Through that process, I had a chance to connect with some people down in Florida. I had a chance to become the head football coach at Boca Raton High School down in Florida. I took that opportunity. I was single at the time, so I was kind of looking for a chance to get out of the Midwest for a little while. I took that opportunity to really, it was a chance for me to just kind of financially, I had a chance to get a full-time teaching job and then obviously the head coach position. So it was just a really good thing for me financially at the college ranks. I was kind of low man on the totem pole, so not really making much, not really, you know, able to support myself for a long period of time. So kind of jumped at that. But did that for 3 years. We were pretty successful. We were able to win kind of our version of the COVID state championship during 2020. So we had a really talented team there. We put, I think my numbers are right, I think we have 8 guys who were playing Division I football. We had 3,500 students in the school. So it was a large school, big operation. But to be honest with you, it started just taking a toll on me, just sort of mentally. You know, I met my wife in Florida. So we were looking to start a family and kind of settle down. You know, South Florida, the Boca Raton area it's hard to live in just because, you know, financially, you can't buy a house. It's just impossible. So we're living in a tiny little apartment, you know, and we want to start a family. So we thought about coming back home, kind of putting some roots down here in Michigan. My wife still has family in Grand Rapids. My folks are obviously in Big Rapids, as I said. So yeah, Shepherd was just a great opportunity for us to put some roots down in a smaller community, a community that loves their football and just is really all about the school. So it kind of, you might be wondering, like, why Shepherd? Well, we have, my wife and I both got teaching jobs out in Midland at a private school there in Midland. So since we're traveling to the west side of the state a lot and we're going to Midland every day for work, we kind of figured, you know, the Mount Pleasant Shepherd area was a good place to settle down. So we bought a place in Mount Pleasant and I had a chance to meet Coach Sigler, the previous coach. So I worked as an assistant here at Shepherd last year. So it was kind of a smooth transition now to the head coach role.
You know, hearing your coaching background almost makes me think of, you know, Justin Sherlock, who's the basketball coach at Sacred Heart. The first time I talked with him, he's like, well, I did some stuff at Cleveland State. I was at IMG Academy in Florida for a while as the head coach. Yeah, you bringing up Boca Raton High School. I'm like, sure. Holy moly, they churn out an awful lot of talent. You've got some college experience as well. You're bringing a lot to the table to this Shepherd program. And how much do you think, you know, coaching at those different levels, having all those different experiences is going to help you as a football coach, you know, high school football coach, now that you're back in those ranks?
Yeah, I mean, it helps me tremendously. But the one thing I have learned going to all those different places is that, you know, the main thing is the main thing. And if you just sort of build a culture, build an identity, and really just treat kids the right way, you know, you'll be able to be relatively successful. Now, you know, success is, again, a relative term, as I said. So, you know, for us, the objective is to have young men leave our football program becoming better people. All right. So we want them to leave saying that my life was greatly enhanced because I played football at Shepherd High School. If on top of that, we can put some wins together and put some good seasons together, then that's great. But, you know, right now, culturally, we have a lot of work to do. Just kind of establish an identity, a culture that is going to be really just focused on the day-to-day operation, how we can give our best each and every day. Our mantra down at Boca was just to go 1-0 each day. So we'll do something similar here, trying to build from that. You know, I mean, football's football. And I think, honestly, like, if you just sort of do things the right way, I think you can have a really good chance of being successful. So that's kind of our approach here. Shepherd's a unique place. It's a special place. Obviously, we were here last year, so we know a lot of the administration, a lot of members of the community already. and you know, we want to stay here. We want to be here long term. So we chose this place for a reason. I think it has its own set of great things. It has its own set of challenges. So we'll sort of approach those, you know, day to day, try to build a culture from that. But yeah, I mean, being in other places, you know, obviously it helps just getting experience, kind of like experience doesn't ultimately matter when I have like daily interaction with the kids, right? They're just going to care about what kind of person I am. So that's our goal right now. It's just to, you know, go day by day, you know, show our kids what it's like to lead, what it's like to really build a culture from the ground up. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Obviously, moving out of some of these places, you had some success too. Like I said, winning a championship in Florida in 2020. So it doesn't matter if it's COVID year or not. People know about football in Florida, and winning a championship there, that's a pretty darn big deal. And so again, as a Shepherd alum, it's kind of cool. That hearing about that background, kind of cool now, I'm going to say, to have you as our football coach. This is something that could change an awful lot. But when you start to think about your offense, your defense, maybe like some philosophies, do you like to run the ball? Do you like to throw the ball? Do you like to stack the box? You have to talk a little bit about that if you can. And obviously, it could change depending on personnel.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, this is, you know, I've always been a defensive guy. Just kind of, you know, I played that position in high school. I was a safety in high school. I played a little running back, but we had a running back that was going to Columbia in front of me. Our starting quarterback ended up going to Ohio State. So we had a really good team when I was playing. So I was more of a defensive guy, more of a special teams guy, all that stuff. So that's really where my heart's at. You know, defense, I was the coordinator here last year. So we were sort of hamstrung with a lot of personnel issues that we had on our roster. So we had to make some pretty big adjustments. But going into this year, I've always been a four down guy, a split field guy. So we're going to do some things defensively where we just sort of really harp on fundamentals, but also have answers. So the one thing, you know, my old mentors used to tell me is, you know, if you can't get lined up in base defense and you can't, you know, play successfully on defense, then you're going to have a problem. So we're going to have a base. We're going to have a structure, a very easy system for the guys to understand. But within that system and within that structure, we're going to have answers to problems that we might get. So we don't want to be one-dimensional defensively, right? We want to be able to get into other things. But when the, you know, post-snap, when the play happens, can we do three things really, really, really well, regardless of what structure we're in, regardless of what scheme we're in pre-snap? So post-snap, our objectives are going to be set an edge on the ball, build a wall, and swarm and tackle. So just three things right there that we can just evaluate. No matter what we're in, X's and O's wise, can our guys do that? So we're going to have some change up this year. We were a three-down team last year. Kind of a 3-3 stack just because of the personnel we had. So towards the end, we started going to a 4-down front. So we'll be more 4-down this year, but we're going to have a lot of different, you know, kind of answers through that to do a lot of different things coverage-wise and all that. Offensively, we're going to sort of keep what we had going last year, except with the addition of just adding a lot more to it. We had a very simple system, which I think is good for kids to understand and to learn, but we need to start having answers to issues that we're getting on offense as well. So we sort of had last year offensively, we kind of reverted back to two or three staple plays. And the issue is that when you get a team that stops those two or three staple plays, well, are we good at anything else? Is there anything else we can do? You know, so that's going to be sort of our focus going into this year, not necessarily throwing everything out the window, but at least trying to dress it up a little bit and try to, you know, confuse teams a little bit more with what we do and how we get set up and how we get lined up. And then ultimately, you know, as we all know, like it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. Can we get our best athletes the ball? Can we get them the ball in space? Can we get them the ball in different ways? Can we take advantage of, you know, defensively, you know, can we have our best tacklers, the ones that are consistently making our tackles, right? Like, can we have our best rushers on the field in situations when we're in pass rush downs? I think it'll be more personnel based, kind of like what you said, schematically, some probably bigger changes on defense than we're going to have on offense. But yeah, I mean, it's all going to be personnel driven and just trying to get our best players the ball.
You like to play that, you know, I'm going to say base 4-3 defense, if that's, you know, what you've got the talent to do, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm most comfortable. But, you know, we'll have a 3-down package out of it. We'll have some different rush packages. We'll have some packages where we're not having anybody down and we'll just, you know, have a sort of, you know, a pass rush where we don't know, the offense doesn't know where the pressure's coming from. So there's a lot of, you know, little nuances you can make. But yeah, I mean, at my heart, you know, it's a four down defense, really gaps down, really just maintaining, you know, good force on the ball, good gap integrity as the play is developing. So yeah, that's kind of the base. But again, having a lot of answers from that is definitely going to be the key.
Yeah, my buddy John Bevere, who called games with me and coached at Beale City for a couple of years, always say you got to read your keys, you know, as a defensive lineman out there.
For sure, that's it.
When you look back at your past, what's the coach you think you learned the most from, or the coach that maybe wanted you to go into coaching? Let's get a little sentimental or something like that.
No, yeah, for sure. That's an easy one. That's my high school football coach. I played for a guy named Mark Mueller. I was pretty close with him. I was pretty tight with him. I actually had the two assistants under him. The defensive coordinator was Coach Bubba Kidwell, and the offensive coordinator was Pat Samanich. Pat Samanich ended up becoming the head coach when Mark Mueller left. So Pat was the first one to bring me on as a coach. So he was like the first one to really show me kind of what it takes to be a coach rather than just a player, right? So he sort of taught me a lot of my verbiage, like a lot of the little sayings I say, you know, here and there, a lot of the things that we're doing culturally. It's very similar to what I had in high school. I was incredibly fortunate to play for some great coaches and to coach with some great coaches. At the college level, I coached with a couple of guys who they had really just a tremendous way of teaching material. You know, like I just think as a football coach, you're a teacher ultimately at the end of the day. They just had different ways of teaching things. And I think as coaches, right, all you are is, if you're a good coach, you're just a good thief. You know, you just steal along the way. So I've stolen a lot of things from my high school coaches. I've stolen things from the college coaches I've worked with. And the other thing, like I'll mention too, is, you know, right now, you know, we're trying to focus. The one thing I had at Boca, which was super helpful, was I had a staff where, like, I was not the smartest guy in the room. You know, like we put together a staff where I had an offensive coordinator with me who's now the head coach at Boca. And, you know, he was smarter. He was way smarter than I was when it came to offensive stuff. You know, like, just take that, own it and run with it. And he did a great job. We have that here at Shepherd. I think we have some people who are really invested in the program. Some coaches that we had from last year and from years before, even like Wade from a couple of years ago, who still want to add a lot to the program, and they want to be a part of the staff. And I think that's going to be important to have people that are smarter than me, know the kids more than I do, know the community more than I do, to have them be a part and have them be invested. So that's another, you know, key aspect in my development, was to be surrounded by good coaches at every single stop. You know,
I wanted to make the joke as a Shepherd alum of, like, well, if you're in Shepherd, if you're not from Shepherd, you're going to be the smartest guy. And, you know, I almost wanted to just make that joke. Question that I always like to ask coaches, and if this is a stumper a little bit, it's because it's supposed to be, but it always turns into a great answer. What's something that these kids learn on the football field that they just can't learn in the classroom?
Oh, yeah, man. There's so much to that. You know, to me, it's the discipline that really comes from a fast-paced environment where you're being challenged physically and mentally at every single turn. Like, at every single opportunity, you're being just challenged. Because if you're not being challenged, you're not going to be able to give us your best, okay? Because we're going to, like, my common saying, I suppose, like, if you want to kind of boil it down, is we're not going to rise to the level of our talent, because we'll never, like, you know, there's going to be teams that are more talented than us. So it's not going to be a matter of just rising to the level of our talent, because there's going to be days where our talent doesn't show up and our talent isn't playing well. So what do you do then? Well, you revert to the level of your training. Okay. So you don't rise to talent, you revert to training. To me, like, the football field is the ultimate training ground for life. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, just had situations come up in the workforce, you know, in my family life, where I had to, like, stop and make a decision about, all right, I got to have some toughness here and I got to have some discipline about getting this done. Right. Even with, you know, handling your finances, like handling just day-to-day life. I mean, there's just things that you have to do to be disciplined. Not saying that you don't need to be disciplined in other sports, but I just think that discipline is required play in and play out in football. And it's required very, very quickly. And it doesn't matter how tired you are. Like, it doesn't matter what situation of the game we're in. I'm not going to call a play that I know is not going to work because my guys are not trying their best. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to call a play because I'm assuming that everybody out there is going to do the right thing. And they're all going to try their best. And that way, this play has a chance of being successful. And I think that's the best way to sort of take out the lessons from football and apply them to your life. Is you got to try your best in every single moment, every single situation, to really have a chance at being successful, if that's what you want. You know, I'm going to tell people, like, if you don't want to be successful in football, then please, by all means, go play football in the park and just play catch or whatever and do that. But playing high school football, man, it's something totally different. It is way more than just the 3 hours on a Friday night. If you don't love coming to practice on Tuesday, you know, in 30 degree weather and it's snowing and it's sleeting outside, then, you know, if you don't love doing that, if you don't love playing football in those conditions, then you don't love football enough. Like, that's kind of where we're at right now. Yeah, I would say, just to answer your question, you know, kind of specifically, I would say the discipline, the toughness that's required, you just don't get challenged in the classroom the way you do on the football field. You can't, you know, because football has the physical element to it too. Like you just got to be a tough dude to play in those conditions and to, you know, play the full game and all that stuff. So I would say those would be my two, probably discipline and toughness for sure.
One thing that you said that I'm just going to say I haven't heard before that I really like is facing the challenges in a fast-paced environment. You know, when you're in the workforce, and I'm just going to throw, you know, everybody's first job, McDonald's out there. There's going to be that time where 30 hamburger orders come in, and it's going to be a whirlwind. But if you've had a 250-pound defensive lineman bearing down on you play after play, it's not that big of a deal, is it?
For sure, right. But, you know, it's also like the mental aspect of it too. You know, I mean, if you got, you know, it's the fourth quarter and you've played the entire game and you're just tired, you're exhausted, and now coach is calling a play and you got to remember the play and you got to know exactly what you're supposed to do. And it's a play that's going to win us the game potentially. Like it's got to be your best play of the whole day. So it just challenges you, you know, after your 8-hour shift, man, in hour seven, minute 58, are you still giving us your best? You know, like that's
a great way to put it right there. I like that.
For sure. Right.
All right, Coach Angel, thanks so much for talking with me, man. And we'll be catching up, I'm sure, again in the future. If there's anything, you know, you want to let the world know about with Shepherd football, you know how to get a hold of me now.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate it, Chris.
Another big, big thank you to Coach Angel taking some time to chat with me real quick after getting hired, kind of let everybody know new Shepherd football coach, what he's about. Another big, big thank you to you for taking some time to listen. It's Spock Sports Show every Monday night, 7 p.m. on Buck 92 and podcasting wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you follow the Spock Sports Facebook page.
If you've got legal questions and you don't know what to do, my attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Hi, this is Joe Barbary. Here's a motor vehicle accident tip. If you've been injured in an auto accident, you don't have to go to Detroit to get the best legal team to represent you. Myself and my staff have been doing auto accidents in the Central Michigan area for over 30 years. Most people I know don't want to drive 150 miles to meet with somebody that they've never met before. If you retain us at Barbary Law, you'll meet with an attorney face-to-face and you'll be minutes away from doing so. So keep that in mind. If you're injured or, God forbid, a loved one is injured or killed in a motor vehicle accident, contact Barbary Law and we'll take care of you.
My attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to MyMichiganPodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.